It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
He throws shoot.
Clark in a straight jack. Oh, he didn't do that. He threw it away. King, Pagese.
To the sideline, caught first down. Woo!
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody. Final show of the week. It's the Friday edition. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt right here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. Friday, September 26, 2025. We are glad to have you with us. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and the Adams Co. Roofing text line will be open throughout the majority of the program today. We'll be running you through our pick'em picks for the upcoming college football slate, our favorite plays, our favorite spots of the weekend, and what is shaping up to be an electric weekend in the world of college football. A lot of great NFL on Sunday as well. We had a great game last night in the NFL on Thursday Night Football, so we'll be talking a little NFL as well. Having some fun with it today. 654-ROAR if you want to check in, and excited for today's show. John, you told me yesterday that Seahawks-Cardinals wasn't going to captivate you, and you stayed true to your word because ECU gave you a lot of points to cheer for last night on your television.
Absolutely. Happy Friday, everyone. Yes, my East Carolina Pirates at home last night defeating Army 28-6. It was 21-0 earlier in the first quarter, and then ECU does the fake field goal that Alabama tried to do against Clemson in the 2018 national title game, except it worked, and they took it like 30-something yards to the house. So it was a fun night. Dowdy Ficklin Stadium was a fun night watching some ECU football. And honestly, like, I know we all haven't had a whole lot of fun this football season here in this area. It was nice to watch a team that I pull for whoop up on somebody.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I had a great time last night. I would highly advise doing it again.
Is that a good feeling?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've kind of forgotten what that feels like.
It was a nice reminder of what it is like. But it was a very good game. I think East Carolina just came out the gate with their hair on fire and marched right down the field. And when you're going up against a triple option attacking Army, they walked right down the field, scored the opening touchdown. Army goes three and out. Then they walk right down the field and score another touchdown. They had Army behind the eight ball pretty much the entire night.
Yeah, Army's got nothing at quarterback this year. And that semblance of the passing game they were able to tap into last year just does not exist anymore.
There were so many opportunities in that first half for Army's Dwayne Coleman to have easy touchdown passes to the running back, running wheel routes and coming out of the backfield, and he just missed them. There was one in particular where running back had like three steps with it and then dropped. I mean, it was tough. It was tough to watch the Army passing game last night.
Kattenhauser, he looked pretty darn good last night for the Pirates.
He did. And I think that what really stood out to me with this team again last night is you've got a three-headed monster at wide receiver.
You do.
With Anthony Smith, Yannick Smith, and Brock Spaulding. All three of those guys are really, really good. Yannick Smith, a Somerville, South Carolina native. Hopefully he rides out his whole career at ECU, but he looks like somebody who could play at the power level last night. So that'll maybe be a a gut punch down the road, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, for sure. 654 Roar, if y'all want to check in here early on the program. I watched the entirety of this NFL game last night, and I got a couple takeaways. So, number one, this matchup always delivers. I feel like this needs to be a permanent staple on Thursday night. If you think back to a couple years ago, John, where DK Metcalf was like the boogeyman chasing down, I think it was Buda Baker
with the ball. Yeah.
That's like still the most athletic play I've ever seen on an NFL field. But this game had me on the edge of my seat throughout the majority of it. Every Kenneth Walker III carry is like its own individual adventure because you never know where it's going to go. He's like doing 40 things per play that are like, oh my God, no, this is the absolute wrong thing to do as a running back. And then you look up and he's gained 6 yards and broken 4 tackles. I absolutely love watching him play. Like, there were multiple negative 5+ yard rushes last night for Kenneth Walker that he immediately got back with like a 23-yard run. So that was hilarious to watch. And the Cardinals, that defense was really getting after it. I was impressed. Sam Darnold is just him right now. I don't know what's going on, but Sam Darnold is like unironically one of the best quarterbacks in this league. He's putting elite touch on the ball. He's got great pocket presence.
Who are the two best quarterbacks right now in terms of play?
It's Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones.
And it's not close.
Yeah, which is like making me innerly question everything I thought I knew about this sport going into this year.
And so it's not just college football where we can't identify quarterbacks. It's at the NFL level as well.
Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, though, like, the two guys that went to Kevin O'Connell rehab last year are now the two best players in the NFL at their position through 3-4 weeks. That makes me believe that whoever ends up leaving out of Wentz and McCarthy is just going to go scorched earth.
So what you're telling
me
is I need to be pulling for 2026 Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Carson Wentz.
I mean, if this is any indication with the track record, if O'Connell rehab works for Wentz at age 32 when he was out of the league until August, then we might need to launch an investigation on what's going on up in Minnesota.
Several investigations across the league, but not just there.
In all seriousness, Darnold looks great. Like, he looks like a true elite quarterback, and it's not really a fluke. He's making the smart plays, and you know, I watched the post-game interview last night. They had him on like the little Amazon Prime desk or whatever, and they were asking him a bunch of questions, and he said, you know, something's just kind of shifted for him mentally in these pressure moments and these pressure spots where he just treats it like practice. And he thinks that's the best thing that he learned from Purdy and Shanahan. And then, you know, last year under O'Connell was to just treat every rep the same, never make the moment too big, and to treat it like practice and not turn the ball over. And he said when you approach the game in a simple mindset, then it makes it a lot easier. And Sam Darnold had his fourth great game of the season in as many tries last night. So here we are in 2025 talking about Sam Darnold. Unbelievable.
Texter 6094 is absolutely correct. You just had to get him out of New Jersey.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Well, on the other side, Kyler Murray, I feel bad for Kyler to a certain degree, but it's also the point where it's like the jig is up, right? This is year 7. Which
is wild to me that he's been in the league for 7 years at this point.
They haven't won a playoff game. So it's like, you see a lot of giving up on young quarterbacks throughout the course of NFL culture, right? Bryce Young was benched a year and a half in, and it looked like he would have never got that job back if Andy Dalton didn't get in a car crash. Now J.J. McCarthy might be replaced by a vet. Like Anthony Richardson, he's really only played in 15 NFL games. Well, now they're going with a different vet in Daniel Jones, right? Kyler Murray's been given every opportunity on God's green earth to figure this out in Arizona. There was never any consideration of bringing in a vet to push him. There was never any consideration of putting him on the bench. There was never any consideration of the franchise drafting anybody over him, right? They took Rosen top 10 just to come back the following year and take Kyler number one. So they invested everything in this guy, and they've got a big fat goose egg to show for it. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a game changer or good enough to carry a team to the heights they want to reach in Arizona.
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think that he can, but then again, I've never loved like the rosters in Arizona.
They've never been great.
There's always been like one glaring weakness, even when you had Nuke Hopkins and when they brought in J.J. Watt on the back end of his career. Like they've done some really good moves. I like some of the pieces they've put together, but it's never all gelled.
Yeah.
Is it going to gel with Marvin Harrison at some point in time in this passing game? Because I think that's also part of the problem is some of the big investments they've made to help Kyler Murray have not really helped.
Yeah, and last night for Marv, you could argue both Kyler's interceptions were on him. The first one was like kind of a scramble drill where Kyler stepped up in the pocket and it looked like, you know, Marvin Harrison was on like a 12-yard dig and he's coming over the middle and Kyler is throwing with anticipation with him coming across the middle and Marvin just stops running and it goes right into the safety's hands. So they get the pick there. The second one was like literally Marvin Harrison might as well have gift-wrapped the football to the opponent. I mean, it hit him in the chest in stride on a slant. He bobbled it and popped it up in the air, and it looked like something out of a cartoon. Like, he got his head taken off immediately. Seattle scoops the ball and goes the other way. Now, I will give Marv this. After a really rough start, he caught a touchdown to make it 20-13, and then he had two big catches on the final drive of the game. And after he caught that touchdown, it looked like he had an emotional moment in the end zone. Like, it looked like he was more relieved than anything that he caught the ball, which is not something that you know, very much see in the NFL. But I do think it's a lot of mental things with that young man right now. So hopefully Marvin can find a way to work his way through it, regardless of what's going on with him individually catching the football, John. I'll tell you, a big takeaway from last night is him and Kyler still have zero chemistry. They're just never on the same page. Three or four separate occasions where Kyler's throwing an outbreaker and Marvin's running the wrong route, or they're just not on the same page, or he's choosing the different option on the option route, and it's just, it looks clunky. And where Kyler and Nuke was like a match made in heaven, and he'd just throw the ball up and Nuke would go get it, Marvin Harrison Jr. just looks clunky right now, and it looks like there's no chemistry with him and Kyler Murray.
No, it seems very disjointed right now. Very disjointed. And I think part of it, too, is outside of Trey McBride, what scares you in this offense?
Yeah, there's no...
Like, now with James Conner out for the year, you're putting a lot on the shoulders of Trey Benson. Like, I think it makes it easier for defenses to attack this offense, and also if he's not mentally dialed in, that makes it even easier for defenses.
Yeah, I think this is arguably the best defense that the Cardinals have had of the Kyler regime. The issue is the skill position players kind of suck. So it's like... Your best, you know what this reminds me of? And it's not just because it's off the top of my head. This is just where I have my most knowledge base. This reminds me of an Eagles Carson Wentz roster with Ertz as kind of like the primary guy when the Eagles didn't have a ton of great wide receivers. That's what McBride is. McBride's the security blanket. McBride is really the primary option in this offense as the tight end. You can look around the league. Nobody wins like that unless you're Travis Kelce. You need a wide receiver one. And then more importantly for Marv, he needs somebody better adjacent to him on the opposite side of the field, because what they'll do is they'll just bracket him. It's like, all right, we're going to man press Michael Wilson. And if you beat us one-on-one with Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch in the slot, we'll live with that. That's the game plan adjustment that was made last night from Seattle. Even with a struggling Marvin Harrison, he's still getting double teamed and bracketed because he's the only viable option at wide receiver for this team. So if I'm Arizona, to be honest with you, John, I don't know if this team's that far away from being in a playoff mix like they want to be in. I think they need one more wide receiver and a little bit more depth at running back, and you might just start see a new element of this offense unlocked. So I don't hate what I'm seeing in Arizona. I'm buying into the project. I think Gannon's got his guys on defense, and that scheme's starting to click, right? Gannon's a lot like Venables from the perspective of his year two in Philly was a heck of a lot better than his year one in Philly when his guys finally understood what the ask was of them schematically.
And that's cover two.
Yeah, and that's all they're going to do is run that Tampa two, and they're going to drop that backer into the middle third and try and bait the quarterback's eyes. Gannon's very bend-don't-break zone-centric. So any more thoughts on Seattle, Arizona? I actually think those are two pretty darn good football teams we watched play last night.
Yeah, the two good teams. I think with the Cardinals right now, it's just tough to really parse what they are, because they have two wins against teams that, I know you're high on the Panthers, you're higher on them than I am. I think we both think the Saints absolutely stink.
Yeah.
You only won that one by seven, but then you had a one-point loss to the Niners and a three-point loss last night. I'm not entirely sure what this team is yet.
And the Panthers are not an impressive one yet. I'm willing to concede that. They got to go out there and earn it. You got to win six or seven games minimum before we start giving you some credence with that as a quality win or whatever. Panthers still got to go out there and earn it. This is a big game for them this weekend.
So if they can stack wins against the... I'm going to read off their next four opponents. If you go 3-1, then yeah, I'm buying the Cardinals. Titans, Colts, Packers, Cowboys.
They should beat Tennessee, especially at home. At Indies, that's going to be a tough ask. Packers are really good, and then at the Cowboys.
But I think they can beat. either the Colts or the Packers.
I think the thing with the Colts has to run out at some point, right? Like, they're not going to go 17-0. And if you want to talk
about... We're not doing the Kubiak thing from the Saints last year where we had the first 2 weeks of the season where he broke all the records and then they imploded.
Yeah, like, I think Steichen's a great coach, and I know Daniel Jones is playing great right now. But if you want to talk about, like, the quality or caliber of teams they've played, zero-win Dolphins, zero-win Titans, and the 1-2 Broncos are the three wins right now for Indianapolis. So, what is that combined record of 1-8? And through nine games from the three Colts wins, they're at the Rams this weekend. I think we're going to learn a lot about that Indianapolis Colts team, seeing them play one of the best teams in the NFC with McVay and Stafford and all those guys. So quick break here on the program. John and I will run you through some more college football, get into our pick'em contest, and talk some more NFL right after this.
Hey, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is where it starts. Where your story begins. This is the trail you blaze yourself. And step by step, you get stronger. Faster, better. This is where it starts. How do you finish? Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Attention listeners, are you ready to drop up to 20 pounds or more by the new year? Well, at PhD Weight Loss, they've cracked the code with the Metabolic Reset System. Their science-backed method that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar. Plus, they're the only program where they guarantee your success and your results. I can attest, I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks. I've kept it off for years. No starving, no workouts, no risky drugs, just a smarter system that resets your metabolism, shrinks dangerous belly fat, and keeps it off permanently. For radio listeners only, they are sweetening the pot for you by waiving your consultation fee, getting you 2 extra weeks of the program free, covering the cost of food during the program, and just for booking, you'll receive their 5 steps to reset the scale book for free. But don't wait. The guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. Call 864-644-1900 now and mention code New Year. That's 864-644-1900. PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturgis from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently.
Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LOCAL to get an extra 35 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LOCAL for a 35 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LOCAL for a 35 cents per gallon bonus.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it leak, down long, there's Wesco! Catches it at the 40, off the races, he goes! Wesco from 76.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number one of the program continues right here with Fax and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co. Roofing text line remain open. John, we were talking a little NFL. We're going to talk a little college football as well. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off and get into our Pick'em contest. Am I crazy for being so excited for both games tonight? I know we mentioned this yesterday, but this is just a really good freaking slate of college football on a Friday night. Like, Houston, Oregon State, you can keep that one at 10 p.m. I've got, or 10:30 p.m. I've got zero interest, but the back-to-back of Florida State, Virginia, and TCU, Arizona State has got me fired up. We're getting some, you want to talk about really good quarterback play on your television tonight? Between Castellanos, Morris, Hoover, and Leavitt, and those two games, that's, what, four of the best 25 quarterbacks in the country? Is that fair to say, John?
I think maybe top 30?
Maybe need to see a little bit more from Castellanos as a passer?
Yeah, I need to see a lot more from Castellanos as a passer. What is he, only had, what, 35 attempts on the season?
Yeah, he's got, like, the highest passer rating ever right now because he's got no, like, their stats are so inflated. It's actually pretty funny to watch. They've got, like, the greatest statistical offense in the history of college football through three games, but two of the opponents are, like, literal trash cans. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare against some warm bodies tonight. Let's hop right into it. We're in the majority in our contest. 8-4 is the way that the hosts and producers have split amongst Florida State and Virginia. The four to be taken, Virginia with the plus 6.5 tonight, are Mickey Plyler, William Quackenbush Ramona, and, oh, did I miscount here? Is it actually 9-3? Yeah, it actually looks like it's 9-3, so we might have had some flipping. So 9-3 FSU. Hearing that figure, does that make you a little bit more concerned that we're in the majority, or are you still rolling with the Seminoles tonight up in Charlottesville?
Oh, I don't feel great about this pick at all.
Yeah.
I've been talking all summer that this is one of the most important games for Florida State of the entire season. And that was before I knew what Chandler Morris could do with this offense. I just, like, the more I go through, like, game scripts, I just think Florida State can pull away in the second half. I would not be surprised if we get to the halftime tonight where it's like a three-point game or even Virginia has the lead. Because I do think what this Virginia offense is going to throw at Florida State is more than they've... I mean, they haven't seen anything like this in a couple weeks. So I think there's going to take some time. They also haven't left Tallahassee yet. But I think there's going to take some time for this team to maybe get comfortable on the road a little bit. I think Virginia may start with some early momentum, but every time I think about this game, I just think Florida State can pull away in the fourth quarter with a late touchdown.
There's more routes to victory for Florida State than there are for Virginia in this one. And don't get me twisted. Like, I would absolutely love a reality where Tony Elliott gets a top 10 signature win and we're coming in on Monday morning wrong and rooting for Tony. Oh, I'm rooting for Tony tonight. Let's just make that abundantly clear.
There is not a pick that I want to have wrong more than this one this weekend, because that makes the for people like you, Faxon, who are big Georgia Tech believers who want to see Georgia Tech get to Charlotte. This is kind of a result you want to have happen.
Man, I really, it sucks that there's been such a souring put on Georgia Tech's success that I've been wishcasting for 3 years now at the expense of Clemson. It was not an intentional eye for an eye type activity for me. I really wish that we were getting talk about a darn good football game. I wish we were getting that rematch. I know everybody's pissed right now. I wish we were getting that rematch up in Charlotte because that was a darn good football game. Brent Key and Dabo Sweeney locked in a war there.
I'm good. I don't need to do that again. I've had enough of that.
You've had enough of Haynes King's 25 carries with 24 of them into the A gap, just repeatedly spamming it right up the middle. Yeah, I never want to watch that again in all seriousness. But
I don't know how you went back and watched that tape.
Man, I'm a sicko, man. I try and rip the Band-Aid off with the pain of it. I let myself be frustrated for about 5 minutes, and then I'll go back and I'll try and watch the game pretty much immediately. Just makes it a little bit easier to cope with that way. But yeah, give me, in all seriousness, give me Florida State minus the 6.5. I'm not overly confident, like you said. I think it's a weird line with a key number where it's like right at that cutoff with the touchdown. Florida State's got more paths to victory. I said 41-28 yesterday. I think there's something to that, right, where it's like 34-28 and you score a late touchdown with Castellanos leaking out on like a bootleg or something to pull away and slam the door shut. So give me Florida State 41-28 tonight over Virginia. I'm excited to watch Morris play. They can put up points, and Tony E's got those guys gelling right now on offense. I just don't know if there's enough stops up in Charlottesville for the Hoos.
No, but I do think that the balance of Virginia's attack can cause Florida State some problems.
Yeah.
Because if we go back to the first game where Florida State beat Alabama down at home, Bama didn't have a running back in that game.
They didn't.
Jamari Taylor is the best running back that this Florida State defense has faced so far this year.
This is true.
Jamari Taylor torched NC State in Raleigh a couple weeks ago.
Their skill guys can play. Harris can play on the outside. They can play, man.
I mean, between Taylor and Whaley, they're averaging 6.2 a carry and 8.2 a carry. Both guys are over 200 yards a game. Now, granted, Whaley is a little bit skewed because he has a 97-yard touchdown run on the season, so that kind of inflates his numbers, but...
It counts the same.
It counts the same. I'm very interested to see what Florida State does in terms of stopping the run. Because if they can shut that down and they force Chandler Morris to have to drop back 50, 60 times in this game, Florida State easily covers this. But if Virginia can get the run game going, I think it makes it an uncomfortable night for the Seminoles.
I'm excited to watch it. Texter gets in and says UVA neutralizes the FSU running game. They can win the game. I do agree with that. Like, that's the if you're looking for a path, like early lead, eliminate the run game, make Castellanos a passer. Right.
Oh, you make Castellanos a passer, Virginia's winning this game.
Yep.
Because, like I was saying about Morris, if he has to drop back 50, 60 times, I don't feel great about it. If Castellanos has to drop back like 25 to 30 times in this game, then I feel very bad about Florida State's chances because he's not that guy.
I do have an admiration for Gus. I love the way Gus calls a game. I said that yesterday. And I think that's something that he does that again, when I evaluate coaches, adaptability and ability to accentuate the skill set of the roster in front of them is a big part of my evaluation. I value coaches very highly that are adaptable. Like, we talk women's basketball. We'll be talking women's basketball throughout the course of the season this year. One thing I love about Coach Poppy is he's not afraid to just completely chuck a game plan if it's not working. All right, let's go back to the drawing board. How can we see what's in front of us? How can we make something work? Brad Brownell does the same thing, right? He plans for every outcome in his game plan prior to a game. With Malzahn, the credit I would give him is he's done a really good job hiding Castellanos' weaknesses, right? Last year up in Chestnut Hill, it was kind of a butting head situation schematically between O'Brien, who wanted a traditional pocket passer, right, and Castellanos that wants to play backyard football. Well, this is a nice balance with this run-and-shoot heavy attack where you give Castellanos a little bit enough of that backyard football freedom, but you also keep him in structure and on schedule enough with down and distance to where you're not asking him to be a drop-back passer in third and 11 situations. Because I think that's where Boston College got in trouble last year, and that's why Castellanos and Bill O'Brien started to get so frustrated, was if Boston College's offensive line couldn't get push up front, they were getting caught in third and 11. And guess what? On third and 11, Castellanos wants to run around like a madman and make something happen. The issue is, when you're sending five bodies at the guy, you're going to get sacked. So he was taking some big negative plays last year up in Chestnut Hill, and O'Brien was losing his freaking mind because he wouldn't stay in the pocket. So the name of the game for me all year this year, and I've said this repeatedly about Florida State, this is a down and distance reliant team. If they can micromanage down and distance, they have a chance to be really good all year. And if they can keep Castellanos on schedule, and if they can get the run game going early in games, this can be a very good team. But John, to your point that you've stressed, if this team has to play from behind and Castellanos is behind the sticks on third down, they could lose games.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if they lose this one, but I think they can. I'm also curious, what if Virginia comes out and punches them right in the mouth? Like Syracuse did last week in Death Valley. We don't know this yet about this Florida State team. They couldn't handle a punch last year. One punch in Ireland, and they were knocked out for the year. Can they handle a gut punch from Virginia?
Yeah.
We don't know. We haven't seen a Florida State do that in over a year. And yes, I know, Clemson's not handling gut punches right now before the Adams Co. Roofing text line explodes at me. I'm very aware of what's going on in Tigertown. If Florida State has to play from behind, and if they get punched in the mouth, I don't know how they respond to those two things yet, based on the data that we have.
Agreed.
Based on the data that we have, I think Florida State has enough talent with good enough coaching that on the road to pull off a cover and a win late in the second half.
If you're a Florida State fan, it would be more beneficial to your team to win a close game from behind tonight to prove that they can do it and to feel that moment of what it feels like than to win by 25 and for Virginia to crap the bed.
Oh, absolutely. You do, because then Miami has been in very close competitive football games that they've had to persevere to come through and win.
Exactly.
I think Florida State needs to experience a little bit of that before they play Miami next week.
Right, like if you're an FSU fan, I'm almost rooting for it tonight where it's like, I want this to go down to the wire. I want my quarterback to prove that he can be in a hostile environment on the road, standalone primetime game on national television, and he's not going to be fazed by that moment. We've seen Castellanos do that at Boston College. We haven't seen him in that play-from-behind type environment yet with this roster at Florida State, so intrigued for a plethora of reasons tonight. We'll revisit TCU-Arizona State a little bit later in the program. John, I want to keep going through our pick'em contest, and I also have some thoughts on TCU's quarterback because Garrett Riley recruited him, just saying. USC and Illinois. So I picked USC to the playoff in the preseason, and I've seen some good and I've seen some bad. Number one, I watch every USC football game because I love watching Lincoln Riley call a game. Like, I've been honest about that. I think Lincoln Riley's a genius. I love the way he calls offense. I love the way he makes his quarterback life easy. And I think that there's not a more disrespected coach as far as accomplishments goes at his age than Lincoln Riley. So I'm a little bit of a defender of Lincoln Riley. Sue me. We all have our flaws, right? In all seriousness, though, I'm fading Lincoln here. I'm fading Lincoln. That's not something I typically do. I'm taking Illinois with the 6.5. I'm in the minority here. It looks like I'm on Illinois, Will's on Illinois, Mike's on Illinois, and Ramona's on Illinois. And to be honest with y'all, there's not too much game logic here for me with my Fighting Illini pick. I just think that a 6.5-point dog at home, where USC's got the time and the schedule and the travel element, and Lincoln's already whining about it to a certain degree, coming off of a 63-10 loss, this is either going to be World War III in Champagne, or they're going to have a chance to win the football game outright, and I'm going to go out on the limb and take the risk that they can cover that spread, because we're either going to get the most fired-up Illinois team you're ever going to get after getting their face bashed in, or you're going to get quit factor, and I'm flipping the coin here.
I went with Southern Cal here in this one. I think that what Kurt Cignetti and that Indiana offense did exposed a lot of things that Illinois can't do. I think Illinois was getting a lot more credit. And listen, I picked Illinois last week, flat out wrong about it. I think I was duped because of how they won the turnover margin in Durham, and then kind of what they did in that bowl game with so much coming back against South Carolina. Like I think I may have just overinflated my view on Illinois. I may have put them up to a level that I don't think that they are. And I just think the way that this Southern Cal offense is operating. I mean, Maeva is...
He's phenomenal.
He's orchestrating this about as well as Caleb did the year he won the Heisman.
Yeah.
I just think they have too many pieces. I love the outside receivers at Southern Cal.
Oh, Lemon and Lane?
Those guys are fantastic.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if Illinois can handle four quarters of it.
And that's, you know, that was my issue. We're going to take a break here in a second. I was really hesitant on the fence about this one, John, because I've backed USC just about every chance I've been given so far this season. I've been high on the football team since in the preseason, and this is where I'm kind of going against my preseason read of both of these football teams. That makes my stomach a little bit queasy. That's just...
Well, it's the end of September. It's time to start flushing out, viewing things from a preseason perspective, right, and with actual data.
We're a third of the way through. I'm going with a weather time zone read, and I'm hoping for a cover. I'm not sure if we're going to get it. I'm not overly confident in either of the picks we've given out thus far, but there are a couple on the board that I really like the spots for, including the games we'll be talking about next. So stick with us through a quick break. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in with John and I. We will break down any game you guys want us to, any school you guys want us to. Going to continue to roll through our Pick'em contest and more right after this.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
It's here. The brand new 2025 Tigers for Tata shirt is now available for pre-sale, along with all new merchandise. Every purchase stays in the Upstate for breast cancer prevention and the fight against cancer. But we need your help to make this year's auction our biggest ever. We're asking for high-end item donations. Do you have a unique experience or valuable merchandise you'd like to donate? Your contribution is 100% tax deductible and will make a huge difference. Get your new gear and learn more at theroarfm.com. Tigers for Tatas, the All-In Foundation, and you. Together, we can make a difference.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454. We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
We have a product called a tree growth regulator. It doesn't stop the tree from being healthy. It just stops it from getting taller. Growth regulating your trees will make the roots stronger, the trunk stronger long term, and they'll survive the winter storms better. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care. How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower, the list goes on, and we're gonna inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber. One Time Plumber.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row. Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing tie. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it cry. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, Plantai.
The Club Car Onward Golf Cart is now available at Golf Cart Service in Spartanburg. This cart has the history of having superior design and performance compared to regular carts. These are the carts used at resorts, RV parks, beaches, and golf course neighborhoods. Dream up your cart design and let Golf Cart Service build it for you. Golf Cart Service is your authorized club car dealer in the upstate where you can get an Onward cart today. Visit our website, golfcartsc.com, to learn more, or visit us at 699 Southport Road. Get your Club Car Onward today and really enjoy life.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
Your home for the upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final segment of hour number one here with Faxon and John on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines, Adams Co. Roofing text line remain open. We're continuing to run through our Pick'em contest and hoping to have that up for social media for y'all soon. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. All right, we were just talking USC, Illinois, and we were talking a little Florida State versus Virginia as well. Again, I feel kind of icky about both of those picks. I don't like the side. I don't like the number necessarily. Definitely won't be playing those on my own accord, but hoping for a win in the pick 'em as always. The next game up on the schedule is one that's interesting, and this was another one that had me a little bit conflicted. It appears I've wound up in the minority here as well, which...
I need you to show your work here.
...is kind of a continued trend. So, yeah, I'm the only one in the morning crew that's taken Pittsburgh plus the 3.5 against Louisville. This is a Miller Moss fade. this is a blind Miller Moss fade, and I know that Brown is an unbelievable player. I know that Chris Bell is one of the best wide receivers in the country that gets nowhere near enough the attention that he wants. I also know how mightily teams struggle when they go and play on that field that always feels like it's muddied up and slick, and that's not an easy place to play up at Pittsburgh. It just isn't. The environment itself is not overly rowdy because you can't pack out an NFL stadium at freaking Pittsburgh, right? But at the end of the day,
they do that on Sundays.
It's exactly. It's a difficult enough environment where it gives me a little bit of hesitation for what Louisville is going to be able to accomplish with their first game on the road, right? First game on the road against a Narduzzi defense that's usually hard-nosed, that's usually physical. I know last year a big topic was that Pitt's defense plays faster on that home field because they're used to the playing surface. I do think there's some legitimacy to that to a certain degree, and I'm just not a believer in the quarterback play right now for Louisville. I think this is the worst quarterback Brohm's had in maybe a decade of college football, because at Purdue, he had some freaking studs that people forget, like Aiden O'Connell. I'd take Aiden O'Connell 10 times out of 10 over Miller Moss, and he's blowing him out of the water, right? They won like 10 games that year at Purdue, so I just think that Pittsburgh's defense is going to be able to show their teeth. I think they're going to be motivated with an extra week of preparation at home. Fans are going to hopefully be showing out after the West Virginia loss with a little bit of hunger. It's their conference opener. There's a lot of trends and reasons I'm playing Pittsburgh here, but I do understand to the naked eye it looks a little strange.
Well, I think the reason that would give you some confidence in your selection is looking at the availability report right now that was posted last night at 8 p.m. Running backs Isaac Brown and Duke Watson are both questionable for this game for Louisville. If those guys can't go, your pick starts feeling a little bit better. However, on the other side of the coin, Desmond Reed is also questionable to play in this game.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big loss for Pittsburgh because he's their whole offense.
If he can't go, then I feel great about my selection. You said you took Pittsburgh here to fade Miller Moss, and while I don't disagree with that logic, I took Louisville because I am fading Eli Holstein every opportunity I can get the rest of this year.
He's a risk taker, that's for certain. He's too careless with the football. I think he's talented, and I think the dual threat upside is legitimate
sure.
to a certain degree. He hasn't looked as good this year as he did at the beginning of last year, and a lot of that's ball security, man. Like,
right. He's not. And listen, maybe a part of it is just it was that bad against West Virginia. But I don't think he's got and without Reed, if they don't have him, or even if he's limited, I don't like the rest of the pieces with that Pitt offense. Although I like Cade Bell. I think he's a revolutionary hire for Pat Narduzzi. I just don't know if this roster is good enough to execute what he's trying to do.
Bell.
So I have some pause if the running backs for Louisville can't go, but I think with Bell and those receivers that they have, even though Miller Moss isn't elite, I think he could carve up a Pitt secondary.
Yeah, I'm looking right
enough
now.
To win this game and take care of it.
Yeah, I'm taking the points with the home dog. Like, I've taken the home dog two out of three times. And
always a sound logic.
I'm wish casting here. I don't feel confident about any of the three games, right? But we don't get to pick the games that are on the sheet. We just have to give our selections when we're kind of in a corner here. So, again, I think the line's pretty accurate. If you were to tell me that Louisville's about a touchdown better than Pitt on a neutral field, I'd probably tell you that's fair. Pitt's getting a 3 to a 3.5 point bump for being on their home field. That's a tough environment and traditionally a tricky place to play for ACC foes. Conference opener, I'm going to back Narduzzi in a low-scoring battle. You know what? Give me Pitt out right here, 24-23.
Really?
Yeah, I think Pitt wins the football game. I'm low on Louisville in comparison to most.
Hey, listen. As someone who has to, team has to go up there on a Friday night later this year, I wouldn't mind seeing Louisville catch some L's along the way.
Yeah, it would make me feel a lot better about that matchup, which is traditionally very, very tricky. That's for certain. Next game in our contest is one we're aligned in, and I think we 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so 5-7 is the split on this, with 7 with Ohio State, 5 with Washington. We're 2 of the 5. So for me, this is pretty simple. I think DeMond Williams Jr. is playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the country, if not the best quarterback in the country right now. I think Jed Fish is a guy that's really rough around the edges personality-wise, and he's really hard on his players and staff. I'm good friends with his former director of recruiting at Arizona, and he was described as one of the most intense coaches ever. Not a super nice guy, just if I'm being honest with you, John, based on accounts that I've heard, but he's detail-oriented to a ridiculous degree. On the home field in a sellout crowd, Seattle, time change, going to the West Coast, first true road game of Julian Sain's career. I think they keep it within single digits. I don't think they win, but I think they can keep it within single digits against these Buckeyes. Your thoughts?
I think they can as well. I think the running ability with Williams and Coleman in the backfield for Washington is one of the more dynamic attacks we have in the country. I also think that Washington defensively, I think this could win them the game or this could cost them the game. I am blitzing. I am doing everything I can to confuse Julian Sain to hopefully he puts something up in jeopardy. I like Washington here. I think they can win this thing outright. I don't feel great about it, but I think that there is an opportunity here. When you look at this, because I think you're spot on with the stadium. You're spot on with the environment. That place is going to be electric. I like Washington here, man. I think this is for an Ohio State team that has bigger fish to fry along the way, I could see this being a spot where they, you know, squeak out with a close win or lose outright, but that be the rallying cry they need to just absolutely dominate Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin in preparations for Penn State in November.
And there's a couple things about this that make me a little bit worrisome for Ohio State, to be honest with you. Number one, I wish this was a primetime game. I would be on the fence of picking Washington outright were this primetime. It's 3:30 Eastern, so it's going to be 12:30 out on the West Coast. I do think that takes some of the juice out of it to a certain extent. But listen, man. Williams Jr. is the true epitome of a dual threat talent at quarterback. And the biggest thing that I have taken away from watching Washington football this year is that offensive coordinator Jimmy Dowdery, DeMond Williams Jr., who is the starting quarterback, and Jed Fish are all on the same page. And that was one of the biggest things for me that always stuck out when I was probably given too much propaganda to the Arizona football program 2 years ago, John, with Fifita and McMillan. I loved those guys. They won 11 games. They beat Brett Venables in the Alamo Bowl. A big part of that was just cohesion with the quarterback and understanding of how to put the quarterback in positions to succeed. I think Ohio State goes on the road and wins a close one here. I think this is something that benefits the Ohio State Buckeyes long term because for very similar reasons I outlined with Florida State, you find out a lot about your football team when you're forced to go on the road with a first-time starter, which will be his first road start of his career, and you're going to have some questions answered about this football team this weekend. Let's get Tom the Buckeye in here. Tom, we got about 2.5 minutes before the top of the hour break. I'm excited for the test this weekend for your Buckeyes. I think it's going to be a competitive football game.
Yeah, actually, after we talked yesterday, and I just kind of glossed over the game, I did a little more research. Maybe you guys talked about it, but they've won like 22 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're at home in Washington. And so here's my concern, and I kind of talked about it just real briefly yesterday, is saying in short yardage situations, because it basically quarterback run with him is not an option.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but they actually put in Keenholz last week in a third and short, and he ran it and got 8 yards. I'm beginning to wonder if they're going to start considering a different short yardage package with Keenholz. And, you know, he's played some, and he's looked really good. Of course, Grambling, but he actually had a higher quarterback rating in that game than Sain did. Sain's thrown 3 picks now, 2 in the last game, and I'm starting to be a little concerned about that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a competitive game, and, I hadn't really thought about first game on the road for Sain in that environment. We're going to see.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of answers. And for a team like Ohio State, right, reigning national champions, and a team that's going to get the benefit of the doubt from the committee in a protected league, you have multiple more chances to notch high-caliber wins to boost your resume. You kill to play games like this, right? This is how you get prepared for what's coming up around college football playoff season. You find out a lot about your football team tomorrow. You do.
This is also what all the money's for being in the Big Ten, for playing in big games like this on the road.
Exactly, yeah. You get to play in a hostile environment out on the West Coast, get those national TV dollars. Sain gets a big test. I like you guys tomorrow like 27-24, something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little lower scoring than that as well.
Yeah, the big question for me is, can we shut that quarterback down?
Yeah.
He's pretty slippery, but I think, between Reese and the defensive situation, I think we'll probably have Reese spy him, I would think.
Yeah.
And try to shut that down. But that's going to be a big, to me, that's a big question in shutting down their offense.
For sure. Well, Tom, we appreciate the phone call. We got to take a quick top of the hour break. Best of luck to your Buckeyes tomorrow. Always really enjoy watching Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith play, man. Those are the two best in the country.
Right. Okay. Should be a good game.
Thank you, Tom.
A lot of good ones tomorrow. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Always loved catching up with Tom the Buckeye. Very rational Ohio State fan. And I will say, like, I was so much more confident in his Buckeyes last year than he was. And I understand when you're a fan of the team, you're going to be like, no, I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. I still can't believe they blew out Oregon the way they did. That was a dang good Oregon team last year, man. They just got on the right day, I guess. All right, quick break here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We'll be giving a little more Ohio State-Washington talk and furthering our Pick'em contest plays and analysis right in, up after this in hour number two.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97. 97-